adventure. A path paved with bravery and treachery. A pursuit of hope. One that a hero must tread. And with the evils of this world only growing stronger, the time is now for a new adventure to begin. The battle rages on. The search for their champions continues. Is there anyone who is willing to put forth their own life?
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but it's getting a little serious, so we're going to go on to the next section. I hope you understand. Sorry, thanks.
Yeah.
Roll the sound bite.
Hey guys, bye guys.
The douchebags are back with a brand new adventure, a new land to explore, and a new intro that's totally not like the last one. In the pursuit of sweet crit rolls and the coolness that comes with it, they are the Tabletop Champions.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Champions. I'm Lauren, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight we have Ben, who plays Throden.
Hello.
We have Kyle, who plays Urpax.
You're as dumb as a mule and twice as ugly. If a strange man offers you a ride, I say take it.
Huh. What kind of ride? Never mind. Sean, who plays Clover.
What kind of ride do you want?
I can't stop you if you want to punch me. It might work.
Matt, who plays Fennel.
Who wishes to fight must first count the cost.
And Stephanie, who plays Raquel.
Why do you think I took you to all those Police Academy films? For fun? I didn't hear anybody laughing. Did you?
Oh my god. Okay. All right. So, last week on Tabletop Champions, you guys successfully defeated the hags. Oh wait, hold on. I wrote notes. Where did my notes go? I fucking wrote it down. All right, so you successfully cleared out the hags. Raquel found a really cool stone that emits some magical power of the unknown. Throden made zombies out of the hags. You guys went back to the hag house to find that it was dispelled and the small child kind of freaking out just a little bit. Y'all collected her and made your way back to town. When you got back, there was a celebration and a contest called King of the Bar was had. Clover won through some fun shit and yay, you won a magical trinket.
Nice. What is my magical trinket?
So, oh fuck, what was her name? I forgot her name. No, Lacey. Lacey has a small wooden box, and as she rounds the corner and or rounds the bar, she opens up this wooden box, and therein lies a long, beautiful wand.
What?
Yep.
Okay, and I say, oh, Thank you, ma'am. I hope I did it right, but...
You absolutely won. Now, listen, when you play with that thing, you better take it on outside, okay?
Okay.
Don't go setting off anything in here.
Okay. And I'm gonna go where everybody's sitting and do identify on it as a ritual.
Yeah. Okay. So you cast identify on it. It
takes like 10 minutes. I don't know if other people are doing other stuff during... that time period.
Hold on. I had it. Where did it go?
I'd probably just be drinking. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, while we're talking about shocking twists, I'm taking a nap.
And there's a little bit of hubbub going on in the bar. Just talking, celebration. It sounds like everyone's having a great time. So you go ahead and cast your spell. And... as you're kind of focusing in on it, you realize that this is a wand of pyrotechnics.
Nice.
Ooh.
So, for the listeners at home, that's an item from Xanathar's Guide to Everything. The wand has 7 charges. While holding it, you can use an action to expend one of its charges and create a harmless burst of multicolored light at a point that you can see up to 60 feet away. Burst of light is accompanied by a crackling noise that can be heard up to 300 feet away. The light is as bright as torch flames, but lasts only a second. The wand regains 1d6 plus 1 expended charges daily at dawn. If you expend the wand's charge last charge, roll a d20. On a 1, the wand erupts into harmless pyrotechnics and display and is destroyed.
All right.
Boom.
And so Clover then does that and puts the wand away for use at a later date.
Fantastic. So, as the night progresses on, a couple of the townsfolk actually produce instruments and they start playing a little jaunty tune. And this is kind of, everyone's enjoying themselves, it seems. It seems like they haven't had something to celebrate in a while. And everyone seems, for the most part, at peace. So, what would you guys like to do for the night?
I'm gonna just probably drink at the bar until it's closing time, but I'll probably be telling fun stories.
What kind of stories?
Oh, gosh, about all my adventures. All the things that I've seen.
Story off.
Oh. So, are you ready?
Yeah, sure. Right. Pax, if you're going to start the night off, I don't know if you want to go first, but if you're going to start the night off with stories, I can tell you a little story about my history, too.
Oh, no, I think you go first.
Okay, well, so then I guess, are we all hanging around, or?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just fiddling whittling some wood.
You see, back in those days, rich men would ride around in Zeppelins. No, is another reference.
They had a thing called the gyrocopter. sorry, the autogyro.
I heard a gyro.
Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville. No,
I tied an onion to my belt, which was the title of the time.
I must get the auto gyro to Siam.
They didn't have white onions because of the war. Anyway, not that I have these written down in a notepad ready to go at a moment's notice. But that's not my story for the night. So I think we would be going around, and I think, you know, this is a story that comes of boasting. So I'll just say, as we're sitting there, and I go, I know I've never really told you much about my history, but you know, I have some nobility. Did you know that?
Oh, darling, no.
Sir, I just met you. I don't know too much about you, so it wouldn't surprise me either way.
You don't look very noble.
What do you know? You lived in a tree.
What noble line do you come from, sir?
Well, gather round, for this is a tale about my life and the topsy-turvy direction it's gone. So please, just give me a moment while you lie, and I'll tell you a tale of how I became known as the young Emir of Carillon Sky. My youth was spent at ease and at play in the city of sibling friendship. We spent our time at leisure and playing child's games when a darkness grew across the land. The darkness brought with it a seedier crowd, and their small but swift example worried my mother to the point of break. She insisted on a swift departure to the home of her sister's family, despite my many pleads otherwise. My arrival in the city set me aloof until I noticed a carriage coach with the dice of my childhood and a crispness to its sigil. I commanded my driver to deliver me to the castle. I looked at my kingdom. I had finally arrived to sit on my throne as the Emir of Carillon Sky.
Kyle. Okay, in game, Clover is on pins and needles just sitting there enjoying the story. Out of game, Sean, did you just fucking Fresh Prince us?
What are you talking about? This is a wholly original story I just crafted. What are you talking about?
That is fucking oh my amazing. God. So through this, Clover is just sitting there expectantly watching you, enjoying and believing every last word you just said.
Mm-hmm. And so that I rattle on. The story continues, and it goes on for a few seasons, and eventually they awkwardly replace the mother, and we're all supposed to pretend we don't notice. But yeah, and that's my opening salvo story.
Oh my god, you already have inspiration, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think what I love most about this is how Ben reacts to in the chat.
I don't even have Roll 20 open.
Well, that's fine. He doesn't just say this is Fresh Prince. He says this is goddamn Fresh Prince.
So when you're done, Clover's gonna say, that was a wonderful story, sir. Do you mind if I tell one of my own from things that I read?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about the time that Clover Colin saved saved three damsels in one day from evil trolls, and I'm gonna rattle on this story about how Colin single-handedly defeated 30 trolls to save three damsels in distress. And so after 10 minutes of me telling the story, you guys all gain 7 temporary hit points now.
Ooh. Nice. Ooh. Nice.
All right.
I like that.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
At this point, you guys have started kind of gathering a crowd, whether you meant to or not. Some of the town folk are just kind of eagerly listening, and Lacey even seems to be intrigued, and she's leaning up on the bar listening to the stories. Raquel, did you have a story? Oh,
yes, of course I do. Of course I do. So after Clover, you know, tells his story about Colin, I'll say, you know, I actually have a very, very dear friend of mine, someone you might know. He goes by the name Aramel. He is one of my dearest, longest friends. And, you know, he has told me the tale many a times of the way he saved the world not once, but twice. He became a god and fell down to earth to save the world yet again after he already did it once before. And I just go on and on. And at one point, I'm probably going to stand up on the bar and start like stomping and like cheersing, you know, like super pirate style. And just go on and on about the stories that Aramel has told me.
Go ahead and make me just a general performance check.
Fangirl much?
Oh, yeah.
Also, pirate style is how I prefer to order it in an out burger. So.
you want a performance?
Yeah.
I'm not super good at these. 6.
Six. So you're so into your story. You actually clamber up on the bar and you're starting to stomp around, but you miss a step and you almost fall off, but you're able to like make it. Well,
can I use the help action to give her advantage by grabbing the table so it doesn't tip over?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay, so you would have advantage.
So go ahead and make me acrobatics check real fast.
Okay, cool.
So and it's at advantage.
22. So
Clover grabs the table before you fall off, and you make it look like a really cool slide, like you intended to do that. But you keep going on your story, and people are like, oh, okay, she's talking about Aramel. Yeah, we've heard the story. Some people seem interested. Some are like, eh, whatever.
Lame. I'm just joking.
I thought it was a great story. So what should I call you? Should I keep calling you ma'am, or can I call you Raquel?
You can call me Raquel.
Since we're going to be adventuring together, I figured that I should address you by the name that you want to be known by.
I mean, some people will call me Madame Raquel, but typically I just go by Raquel.
Okay, Madame Raquel. Raquel, ma'am, it's going to take some getting used to. I'm sorry.
If you are going to call me something more formal, I would prefer Madame.
Okay, Madame.
That just sounds odd. Could you throw a Raquel at the end of that?
How about I just call you Raquel, ma'am? Can I get you a drink, Raquel?
Always, darling. Are you going to have one with me?
Sure. as I kind of rub my stomach a little bit, being still turned from the last time. But I will get myself a small ale and Raquel large ale.
Okay.
That's my boy.
Lacey hands both off to you. And you guys kind of chitter chat into the night. What would you guys like to do for the rest of the night? Any more stories or?
I think Fonel's just like listening with a smile on his face, this whittling that piece of wood he was working on earlier. And it becomes I believe it becomes a nice looking flute.
And I'm just making note of some of the other interesting stories. But, you know, other than that, I'm just chilling.
Okay.
Yeah. Throden listens to the stories for a while. And then as they start to peter out, he gets up and walks outside.
Okay. Where are you going?
We're boring.
Yeah, I was like, would we notice this?
I mean, I'm a fairly large lizard person who just got up and walked out the front door. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nope, I don't see anything.
I'll see if he's walking out.
So, Throden,
I see nothing.
You walk. Oh, that's fine. You guys are enraptured by the stories, and your passive is probably enough to see where Throden got up and made his way to the door. And you're outside, and it's actually a really nice night. There's a soft breeze. The temperature, it's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's very calming, and you hear crickets chirping. Go ahead and roll me a perception check.
Okay. 11.
Okay. You think you hear something coming from the barn, but you're not really sure. It could have just been an owl. But the night seems pretty peaceful.
Well, I was headed for the barn, I think. That's where we left the cart and the zombies and everything, right?
Fantastic.
What time are you doing this?
It's kind of nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it took you a good portion of the day to get there. You guys fought the hags, took a good time to get back, so it's about nighttime.
If I see him leave to go check the barn, I kind of want to secretly follow him.
Okay.
I'm curious about this necromancy stuff.
Okay. So go ahead and roll a stealth check. Are you?
I'm going to try and secretly so he doesn't see me. I kind of want to just observe. So stealth check?
Yeah, and are you also trying to sneak out of the bar as well?
I would watch him leave. I don't care if people see me go, but I don't want him to see me following him. And that's a 19. And once I get outside to like peek out and then follow him.
Yeah. So you see Throden off in the distance and he doesn't seem to notice you. So Throden, as you approach the barn, you actually see that one of the doors is swinging open.
Hmm. Throden goes over to the door and looks inside.
You see your wagon. You see the tarp over one zombie, but you don't see your hag zombies.
What?
Oh boy.
Hmm.
What have you turned loose on this world?
And go ahead and roll me another perception check.
Yeah, because now Throden's trying to figure out where the hell those undead hags went. 14.
You know, as you do.
Yeah. Okay, so you're kind of looking around on the ground, and you don't see like any indication that they just got up and walked away, but it also kind of feels like they just got up and walked away. And as you're turning around to look around for them, outside further off into one of the fields, you see small flickers of flame.
Do I see this as well?
Go ahead and roll me perception.
Okay.
Because you're kind of just watching him. You see him look out to something in the distance, but
I'm still focused on him, I guess, then.
Yeah, and there's like a little bit of a door kind of covering what's past your point of view that way.
Okay.
Or a part of a building that's covering where you can't see. So, Throden, you see small flickers of flames out in a field.
Okay. Throden is going to tell his zombie to get up. His zombie to get up.
He gets up and just kind of like looks around for a second. It looks very satisfied. If a zombie could look smug, he looks smug. And just looks at you, waiting for orders.
Come, we must find the hex.
He sighs. He looks like he sighs, like his shoulders sag. And he gets up and out of the cart and goes with you.
Still this following.
This zombie has a lot of sass.
And Clover, you are following. Okay, so are you going towards the flames?
Yes.
Okay. So you walk towards the flames, and it goes from small, like a small little fire, and all of a sudden it just engulfs to a giant burning ball of light. Ooh. And it's so bright that you have to shield your eyes away for just a moment, and you can, like, you're about 10 feet away, but for a second you can feel the heat of this fire on your face. And as it dies down a little bit, you look to see what it is that's on fire, and you see the two hags burning.
Oh.
Hmm.
And the flames slowly start to die down, but their clothes and their hair are still smoldering.
And they're, like, burned to death again?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Hmm.
And that's when your zombie, Drow, he pats you on the shoulder and points down to the bite marks that he had earlier.
Hmm. Now, Lauren, I have an important question for you out of game.
Okay.
When we gained a level, I would have gotten more spell slots. Do I get that extra spell slot, or do I have to wait until I long rest before I get that?
I think last game I said, no. Yes, you got it.
I do get it. Okay.
You do get it. We made that work. Yeah. So I'll say yeah.
All right. That changes what I was going to do then.
Oh, no. I should have said no. Just kidding.
I mean, you can change it.
No. Go ahead. What you going to do?
Throden. So I'm like in a field right now.
Yeah, it's like one of their corn. It's a harvested down cornfield, and some of the stalks are actually dying, which kind of helped liven up the fire. Mm. But the fire looks controlled.
Hmm. Odd. What could have? Who burned the hags? I thought everyone was at the party. Hmm. And Thrudin looks over, back over at the undead drow.
Hmm.
Thinks for a moment, and then he's going to cast Mold Earth.
Okay.
Dig a hole in the ground.
Okay.
He's going to throw the hag bodies in there.
Okay. It's not. You're probably used to unpleasant things, because at this point it's just kind of scalded flesh and bones.
Cool.
Cool. I mean, I'm going to make the zombie do that, but
yeah. And he does so.
All right. And I'm going to make a quick grave for each of the hags, but using the earth.
And okay.
Then bury them, and then I'm going to make a third one.
Okay. Oh no.
And okay. He's going to have the drow zombie stand in it, and then he casts Shillelagh on his club and beats the drow to death.
Oh no. Jesus.
Clover, you see all of this happening.
Oh, okay. Back away slowly. Head back to the tavern. And get a large ale. And sit next to Raquel silent, as though I've just seen a ghost. And I don't like necromancy.
Okay. Thrudin, you're finished with your business.
Yep.
And do you go back inside to the tavern?
I do.
Okay. You go back inside and everyone's pretty much where you left him. Clover just has a bigger drink of ale, or bigger tankard of ale.
I would probably notice that he was unsettled, yeah?
I mean, probably, because he's usually a little chipper dude.
Yeah.
Also depends on how in the bag you are.
Yeah. That is also very accurate. So, I mean, I think you would probably notice. It depends also on if you're super in depth in a story.
Yeah, but I mean, if the stories have settled down,
yeah,
you know,
then yeah, you'd probably notice.
Okay, so I'm probably gonna look at Clover and be like, "My dear boy, what is wrong with you?"
Nothing, ma'am. Just Throden's out there. I think he'll be back in a minute. He's doing weird stuff.
Tully, what on earth are you talking about?
He just beat up a drow zombie. And I don't know. You might want to ask him. He's outside.
Who are you talking?
Find out what he's doing. Throden.
Okay.
It's at this point where Throden actually walks back in.
Down my drink.
So I'm probably going to yell at Throden. Throden! Come here, darling.
What?
Do you come to me? Have a seat, darling. This poor boy, seems very confused by you. What is going on?
What do you mean? And why are you drinking so much of that? Last time you passed out.
I did not. I had it together. Don't
No, not you, the small one.
Okay. Don't judge
me. It's interesting. I think as an adventure, I should develop a taste for it. But I decided to get a bigger one, to cool the nerves a little bit after seeing what happened out there.
Mm.
You shouldn't really be drinking alcohol at such a young age. It might stunt your growth.
Bip, bip, bip.
The drinking age is only 12.
And I'm just kind of sit there looking at Throden. Sir, what is this? Why?
Why what?
Why did you kill that drow again?
It had served its purpose, and it had served its time.
Didn't it serve its time when it was alive?
Yes, and then it served more time after in undeath. But undeath should not be indefinite. It is part of the cycle of life and death and undeath.
Okay. I look more confused than when we started. And go back to drinking my ale.
See, darling, that's a perfectly good explanation. It's all about the cycle in life. That's why, Fennel, you should live a little bit more.
Insight check on Raquel to see if she's really okay with this.
I actually think she might be, hon.
A 9.
Well, you're not sure. You're just not sure. A lot has happened in a short period of time, so you're not really sure how she feels about it. She seems okay, but it's hard to read.
Okay.
Fennel, at this point in time, there's a small tug on your sleeve, and it's the little girl.
Hello. She actually never got your name.
My name's Dawn. I'm hello, sleepy. Dawn. Can I go to bed?
Sure. Raquel, do you mind if she shares your room?
Oh, no, darling. That's a horrible idea. No. Mm-mm. I don't share my room with anybody. I think there's a very nice corner over there in the bar. She's okay. There's also a barn.
You point to the corner, she just...
God.
And she starts walking over to the corner.
Raquel, that's not very nice.
But now, really, I need my beauty sleep.
She's sniffling and she lays down in the corner.
Tell you what, you can have my bed and I'll sleep on the floor.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It is the right thing to do, and I give Raquel a look.
I mean, you know. I don't know what you want from me.
Fair. So you take her, and basically she asks you to tuck her into bed. Is there anything else that's going to happen on this night? I'm sorry, were you going to say something, dear?
I think Fennel does what she asked, but it's all awkward to him because he's never done anything like this before.
It's okay, she's awkward too. But okay. Is there anything that's going to happen tonight that you guys would like to go do?
I'm going to crash out after a couple ales.
Okay.
Thurden will actually ask Clover, did you see what happened to the hag zombies?
Yes.
Do you know what could have done that?
Maybe. Can I do like a nature check to see what would have done that? Or is there some sort of check I can do to, like...
Give me an Arcana check.
I'm good at those. 16.
So, with the intensity of the flames, you also saw it as well, since you were following him. Those aren't natural flames. Those are possibly something caused by fire magic. Specifically, maybe even a fireball spell.
So a decently high-level spell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to relay that information and say, sir, it did look like a magical fire, more so than just a fire of natural means. Something decently powerful, not your average cantrip. Do you have any enemies? As I look over, or as I think back on the zombie.
Well, obviously the drow, but... my clan had rival clans that they warred with, but none I recognized using powerful fire magics like that. Not that I recall, at least.
Then this might require some more investigation then, sir.
Is Clover going to do his thing tonight, or is he just going to go to bed?
He is just going to go to bed tonight, because we had the adventure, and I feel like that was strenuous enough.
Yeah. Pax, are you doing anything tonight?
No, I think that's plenty for tonight.
All right. Anyone else? Are we good?
I think Fennel tucks in Dawn.
Okay. You tuck her in, and she seems very content, and within minutes, she's passed out.
I think, there's a window, in my room, right?
Yeah.
I think, Fennel just, like, starts meditating in the moonlight.
Okay.
Can I walk by and be like, wouldn't you feel more comfortable in a tree? And I just walk up by, like, go to bed.
I think Fennel ignores her.
I'm sleeping. I didn't really get a room.
No, you guys got free rooms because you killed the hags.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, you guys got free rooms and drinks.
Mm-hmm. And some food, I assume.
Yep, absolutely.
Then if the little girl's still looking for a room, she can hang out in my room.
Okay. She's actually currently passed out in Fennel's room.
Okay.
So, that is a what's going to happen for the night. So, as you guys settle in, Clover.
Hey.
You settle in for the night, and you have a dream, and you're in that black prison that was at the Hags, back whenever you were in there. So, when I
got warped out, and it's the same one from the dream?
It's the same one from the dream. Beginning. Yep. And you hear that voice again, that masculine voice say, "Little mouse, what is it you hope to accomplish?"
That's a very broad question. As I kind of look around, I'm actually a little afraid. And I would say, just finding a group of friends and adventuring.
Friends and adventuring?
Yes.
It's all...
Grow stronger, like my hero Colin.
Do you know what lies out into this world?
This world? And I look around, because it doesn't appear to be like my world, correct?
Correct. And as you ask that question, the blackness actually shifts. And now, instead of having a black backdrop, it's a purple and blue spindly, like, web-like backdrop. And you feel like you're in a cavern. It looks like you're in a cavern filled with a spider web, but the webbing is purple.
Yes. In this world?
This world. And as you start to look around, you see a giant, like, you see something moving in the webs. Like, there's something heavy walking through the webs, like a spider.
Okay, and am I observing this from just a random spot, like, floating there, or am I, like, in the web, stuck to the web?
You are kind of on the ground. Okay. And you're surrounded, but you're not, like, caught into it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I look at this thing and I say, I don't know what to expect in this world. I've never seen anything like it.
And the creature shows his face. And it is the face of an elven man with a giant spider body.
Sir, if you don't mind, I'm a little perturbed by what I'm seeing right now.
He grins and he has a maw, a toothy maw. And he says, "You should be." And he starts lunging forward. But as soon as he does, you feel something struggling in your pocket. And that disc that you found at the Hag House pops up out of your pocket and emits a bright, brilliant light. And you hear a voice said, "Back! Get back, beast!" And it's blinding light. And you wake up and it's actually morning.
What did the voice sound like? Masculine, feminine?
Masculine.
Okay. I shoot up out of bed. I'm guessing I'm sweating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Raquel's room.
Okay. As you get up out of bed, you notice two things. One, the disc is on the ground, sitting there. And two, the hag grimoire that you grabbed is also sitting with the pages open.
In my room?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the page that it's open to.
As you pick up the book, you look at it. You can't understand anything that's written in it, but you do recognize... You recognize a symbol that's etched in there, and it is a symbol that is a mask, but half of it is an elven face, and the other half is an ambiguous humanoid-like face, but you can't tell. It's kind of shaded, so you can't really tell a whole lot about it. But as you're kind of inspecting the elven side, that's the man that was in your dreams.
Okay. The man or the spider-like man?
The spider, sorry. The spider. Yeah, the spider with teeth.
The Spider-Man.
Bookmark that page.
Okay.
With the disc.
Uh-huh.
Go find Raquel.
Okay. So you run and pitter out the hall. And Ow. You start... Oh, go ahead. Do you know which room is... I would assume you probably knew which room was Raquel's.
I would think so. I don't imagine this inn's super huge.
No, it's not. So you start banging on Raquel's door.
No, I don't bang. Oh, I lightly knock and I say, "Ma'am, Raquel? Raquel?"
Darling, what do you want?
I'm sorry to wake you up, but I had a nightmare and I found something.
Don't you want to go talk to Fennel about it?
No. You're my adventuring buddy, and I figure we should talk about these kind of things.
Okay. Just give me a minute. So then I'm going to stumble to the door and open up the door, and I look hot messy.
You see a chipper little mouse with a slightly scared or, you know, off-put look on his face. As I hand you this tome, and I walk in and go sit on your bed.
And Raquel's, like, wearing mascara and makeup from last night, so it's all just smudged everywhere.
Yep, I've got, like, a sleeping mask, like, on top of my head.
Right?
My hair is just everywhere. It's, like, a little so messy.
Mouth.
Yep, done.
You're a water genasi, though, aren't you? So your hair is always just kind of flowy and...
Yeah, but this is like a hot mess. Like, you're actually shocked that my hair could get messy. You know?
Yeah, it's not like a flowing ocean. It's more like a bog.
But I have like seaweed and kelp like on my hair. What is this?
Well, ma'am, I had a dream last night about this weird spider guy with teeth and a giant web. And I thought it was just a nightmare, but then when I woke up, I saw this book and the disc laying on the ground. You remember the disc from the hags, correct?
I do.
And you see that you're holding a book with a disc holding a page. And if you open to that page, that's what I saw is that face. And then there was another voice that told the beast to go back, and then I woke up.
Did you recognize any of the voices?
Just... the voice, because did we hear that voice in the initial dream?
Not that voice in the initial dream.
But it's the same voice as the one from when we were at the hags, correct?
Mm-hmm. And now that you're kind of thinking about that dream, the spider webs from last night's dream, it almost matches the webs that you saw at the first dream. That makes sense?
Yeah.
But we did hear that same voice, though, when he and I were in the void, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Raquel, it's the same voice. I don't think that this is something that we can ignore. This is something that happened to us, and it's still continuing to happen to me. I don't know if you're a party to it as well, but you were there in the void with me.
Oh, darling, this is not good.
I didn't think it was, ma'am. Raquel.
I thank you. I need to think. So, Lauren, would there like... be anything, because we only heard the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'd probably ask Clover to describe the creature from the voice. Is there any way that, like, I mean, do you want like history or something to where maybe, like, is there any chance I would know what this is? I really don't have anything, you know, in my history other than.
Yeah, and I've read a lot, too.
My antiquities, you know, and stuff like that. I wonder...
Go ahead and roll me if you have a history or a religion check.
Okay, they're the same, so...
What about me from my readings?
Oh, fuck. Seven?
Seven, no. Clover, for your readings, if you have a history check.
23.
Nice.
23. Ooh. Okay. So, you remember... Okay, hold on. I gotta think about this. You remember that there were rumors. You heard CeeLo and Lena talking about a great battle. Okay.
Okay.
And you remember hearing rumors of this great battle and a creature that popped out of a portal, and it sounds just like the creature you just saw. And this creature that popped out of the portal took away the adventures and a giant creature. You're not sure what kind of creature it was, just something of great evil, and it sucked them into a portal.
Okay. Within Irulan, correct?
Within Irulan, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds like what you saw and what you heard from CeeLo and Lena talking, this sounds like almost the same thing. Like, yeah. you know a little bit about, you've read about deities, so the only deity that sounds remotely close might be Lolth. But she wouldn't do... You don't think she would have those kind of capabilities.
Are you relaying all this to me,
Sean?
Yes,
I'm relaying all of this to you. Okay. And I think that this creature has shown itself before here in Irulan from a story I read of the recent battles. Because was it recently?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was a week ago.
Yeah, from the crier speaking of the recent battles and a giant being, this seems to match.
And these are friends that you have in Haven that told you about this?
Well, no, it's because I would probably have heard the news of this from like the town criers or some sort of publication, correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought you said CeeLo.
So CeeLo, you would have heard it probably from CeeLo and Lena because they would have told you.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
I heard it from my friend CeeLo. Well, not my friend, more of like one of the great heroes of the town that comes and tells me stories sometimes, but yeah.
Well, we had to go to Haven to go talk to your mothers anyway, so I guess maybe we can talk to some of your friends, see if they can tell us anything more.
Okay, that would be amazing. You could meet my moms and we could explain to them that I need to go out on adventure. It's important.
Absolutely. Now, darling, I do need you to scoot because no one ever sees me without my face on and I'm very uncomfortable. So can you just mosey along so I can do my makeup?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'll leave a bloody Elenia outside your door for you.
Delightful,
dear. I trot down to the bar and get her breakfast and a bloody Elenia.
Okay. This is the best relationship.
I don't want you to ever get sick of me because that would mean I would have to go home. So I'm at your beck and call.
I like it. And honestly, that is exactly what you would have to do to gain her favor, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to do my makeups.
Okay. So that's basically how you wake up in the morning. Everyone else is starting to slowly wake up and getting around, and Lacey has breakfast ready for y'all. Vegan and non-vegan options, of course.
Awesome. I've been up since like early this morning since I only need 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, and little Dawn is just conked out.
And as we're around lunch, I think I'm going to regale all of this information to everybody else as well. As long as I look over to Raquel and she doesn't see, and like I don't see her telling me not to say anything.
Wow, would she? Because I figure like you guys are probably halfway through breakfast and then I stroll down. But like,
yeah,
I look amazing. Like it just didn't even like. But I think I would be late to breakfast. So if you were going to tell the stories like before I got down there, like I can't stop you.
I think I would wait for you to come down, honestly.
Okay. So then if I come down, I don't...
And this isn't me trying to keep information, it's just Raquel's the only one that said that she would adventure with me going forward,
mm-hmm.
So I don't want to screw that up. So yeah. It's not me withholding information, but it's me trying to play towards being able to go out and adventure, if yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to debate if I would stop you or not. No, I probably wouldn't, you know? Because I guess, are you trying to convince them that they need to come to Haven with us?
Yes. That would be my thing.
All right. Then I would probably not interrupt.
Okay. So then yes, I regale this. And after I tell you guys, I think it's important that we all make a journey to Haven to find out more about this. We were all there and I know Fennel got disappeared to that place as well.
Yes. The person that was talking to me wasn't very nice.
No, they didn't seem nice to me either.
So I'll go with you.
I don't think it's a matter of nice. I think it's a matter of evil. This isn't something that, you know, someone says to you on the street.
I agree. And part of the teachings of my monastery was to destroy all evil.
All of it?
Then it's settled. We're an adventuring party. We really should come up with a name.
No, we've talked about this. The name finds us, not the other way around.
But I think it would be easier to convince my moms to let me go with you guys if we were a true adventuring group.
I think the grumpy grandpa has a point.
Okay, then I'll just kind of figure out a way to convince them.
Good luck.
I'm sure with all of us, we will be able to convince them.
Especially with their zombies.
Yeah, my mom's really good right now.
That's true.
And no, I think I would have made it a point to say that, sir, maybe don't bring any zombies into Haven. It'll be easier to convince my family, and people I think will be more apt to listen to us.
Very well. If I have any more zombies, I'll make sure they stay outside.
Okay. Is that what they are, sir? Are they zombies?
They're not butlers.
No, but I've always read that zombies were evil creatures bent on eating the flesh of the living.
I poke it with a stick.
It probably would if you let him.
He has none, though.
They're all dead.
They're all dead now. He killed all his zombies. Well, oh, his right. last one.
It's like with anything.
I did.
It's like with anything. It could be seen to be good or evil. It's how it's used.
Dawn finally wakes up and walks down the stairs, and she like rubs her little eyes, and she just has a sleepy look on her face.
Shit, we should have already left.
Urpex.
Yep.
We really need to talk about your disposition towards everybody else.
Do we now?
No, he's fine, darling. You're
Sir,
the one Fennel, that needs to
change. I'm not sure if you're familiar with elderly folk. They tend to take their own way with things.
I'll teach you about elderly folk.
I say nothing obediently. And I just look over at Fennel and I say, there's much to be learned from our elders, sir.
What the kid said, tree boy.
Like how to be grumpy.
I mean, he does have a point. We really do need to get on the road if we want to get to Haven.
Yes, but first, what do we do about Dawn?
I thought we were giving her to the bartender.
Yeah, it's hers now.
Dawn looks up at Fennel. You're gonna leave me?
Fennel! No.
Sir Fennel, I know that you are trying to do the upright thing, but I don't think a trip to find out where the source of this evil comes from is a place for a child.
Aren't we going to Haven first?
That is true. I'm sure that she could find a place in the orphanage.
Okay.
How about we just take her to Haven, and I'm sure we'll find somebody who'd be more than willing to take her in and give her a good home.
It is a wonderful place. It was created by... No, you're not a pet. It's a wonderful place created by a great hero, Colin. I'm sure you've heard of him.
No.
Oh, he was the greatest. I'll tell you all about his tales on our trip to Haven. And I grab her by the hand and I walk her outside to the cart as though there is no more discussion.
Okay. On the way, she says, Can you summon Chubbs again? I liked him.
Oh, right. Absolutely. I'm going to pull out my bag. Although Chubbs might not want to come. He might not. It's very complicated.
Okay.
I'm going to reach into my bag and out comes Jerry again. Jerry is making a huge presence. let me try one more time. A giant elk pops out. Looks like Chubbs couldn't come, but this is Patricia.
Her eyes grow wide like saucers, and she watches you pull things out of your bags. You're so cool.
I don't think anyone's ever called me cool before, and I get so really cool. Happy. Do you want to ride, Patricia?
Will she let me?
Sure, and I kind of am gonna speak with animals.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell Patricia to basically take care of this girl and let her ride her and be super sweet to her.
Patricia just kind of. It doesn't say anything.
Yeah, you get to decide the personality of these things.
No, absolutely, if that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just a heavy.
She really needs it right now, Patricia. Please don't do this now.
God Patricia. Damn it, Patricia.
And she looks at you with her big bright eyes and looks back at the girl, looks back at you, and she kind of like nuzzles you, like headbutts you soft, like gently, like playfully. And then she reaches down and like kind of nuzzles, like smells the girl first, smells Dawn, and she kind of gives her a good smell over. And then whenever she's satisfied, she actually like she gets down on her front legs and bends down so Dawn can climb onto her back.
Nice.
And she rises, and the little girl goes, she just lets out a big gasp and holds onto her neck. And you can tell Patricia's a little smug about the attention. She likes the attention.
So I'm going to pull out some trail rations and feed it to Patricia.
Oh, she loves that. Absolutely her say, favorite.
Thank you, Patricia. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't your favorite, but for being a team player.
She gives you a gentle headbutt again and just kind of prances around with Dawn on her back. And Jerry is very upset at the fact that you gave her treats, not him treats, and he's pestering you now. He's like crawling
Jerry,
on top
I'm,
of you.
I'm sorry, I needed to, and I pull out Jerry's favorite portion of the trail rations.
He's delighted.
And yep,
he is delighted. All right, so, you guys, are you doing anything else before you leave?
I'm just gonna thank the woman for her hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey. She has
Lacey,
a name.
Lacey. Sorry, Lacey. Lacey, thank you for your hospitality. I'll be sure to tell people in Haven that there is a friendly inn up to the north and that I was taken care of very well here.
Oh, absolutely. I like them folks down in Haven. They're real nice. You take care, and you tell Smuckers that he owes me some jam. You tell him.
You know Smuckers?
Maybe.
I will absolutely tell him. I'm sure he'll be ecstatic to know that someone wants some of his salves.
Oh, you better talk to his husband about the jam. Never mind.
I give Lacey like the traditional monk bow. Is like, may the great oak always shade your path. And thank you for your hospitality.
She looks up, looks at Patricia for a second. I think it has. You take care of the funny little dude. And y'all chow safe. If you hear any screaming, just go the other way. Okay. Okay. Bye. Okay.
Bye. Load up in the cart. Look at Fennel to see if he wants to take the animals, to take lead with the horses.
I think he just like puts his hand out like, you go ahead.
Okay, animal handling. 18.
And the horses seem eager to go. And giddy they up. Giddy on up. And so, they... Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Just while we're traveling, I do want to have a pep talk with Clover.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So just whenever that you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Are you sitting next to me?
Yes, of course. You and I are sitting in the front. So, darling, so I'm going to convince your moms to let you come with me. But I need to know more about your moms.
Oh, okay. Well, there's my mom, Henrietta. She always took care of me as a child. She's a bit overprotective, and I think she's going to be the one we have to worry about. My other mom is a guard, and she always, you know, reads me adventuring stories and tells me how I'm going to be a great adventurer. I think that she's going to do a lot in convincing Henrietta to let me go. Hmm. At least that would be my hope.
What's
her name? I can't remember.
What does Henrietta do?
Henrietta, I'm looking, Sean.
She's a baker. She owns the bakery.
Okay. And then what was it? Henrietta and what?
That's what we're trying to find right now.
Melody?
Melody.
Oh, Melody.
Melody.
Okay.
She's a member of the guard. She's a stout woman, but she's always, you know, wanted me to go out and be an adventurer and to see the world. Now that it's here, I'm hoping she still believes that much.
Hmm. Well, don't worry. I know that if I chat with them for just a few minutes, they'll easily let you come with me.
I'm not so sure about Henrietta, ma'am, but I'm more than open to you trying. That would really help.
Of course. I don't know. I feel good about this. I have a good feeling.
I do too, ma'am. Sorry, Raquel. I'll get used to it one of these days. Okay. And I hit the reins and we're moving.
Delightful. So it's going to be a 4-day journey to get to Haven.
Oh, what day? A full day or a 4-day?
A 4-day journey.
Okay, gotcha.
And on your way, you don't have a whole lot of encounters. You see some huge monsters. I don't want to say monsters, but you see some creatures that you've never seen before topside during your encounters, but you stay far away from them.
Like beasts enough. Of the land kind of thing? Or
yeah, it's like a beast of the land. Like they don't come after you. They don't threaten you kind of anything, but they're definitely from the Underdark and not something you've really seen before.
Okay. Just going to take note of them.
Yeah. So, Clover, in the meantime, do you message Henrietta or Melody? Or, not really.
Yeah, I probably should check in. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to pull out my little piece of copper wire and scrawl into the air. All safe. On our way back to Haven, we'll talk about leaving when I arrive.
You get the message back.
I'm not sending this to Henrietta. I'm
okay.
Sending this one to Melody.
Okay. She responds.
The last words, tell Mom I'm safe.
You hear very calm and collected. Your mother says, "Why would you do this to me, you rotten child? However, I look forward to your return. Be safe. Roads are bad." I hope that's 25 words, but hey, there we are.
Wait, it's like, yeah. Ballpark it. That's probably right.
Ballpark it. That's close
Sounded
enough.
Right.
All right. And do you guys do anything else? Do you mess with the grimoire or anything? Or anything like that?
I'm just going to have... I'm going to... Because Raquel still has it, correct? I gave it to Raquel.
She does have it, unless she gave it to someone else.
No, the book?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I still have it.
Okay. And I'm just going to say, maybe Urpax could take a look at it. Raquel, he seems to know a great many things.
Sure, fine with me. Hey, Urpax, wake up. Yeah, I know. look at this. Have you seen anything like this?
A book? Yes.
Yeah, great one.
You would have heard from breakfast about the book. I would have regaled everything about it. I think this would be your first chance to actually like look at it, though, if you wanted to look at it.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Well, I investigate the book. Do I have to roll a thing?
No. What languages do you speak? Or do you know?
Speak? I do. Hold, please. I speak common, undercommon, and deep speech.
So this is written in a language that you have not encountered yet.
Okay.
So it's just a bunch of...
Oh, hold on.
Yes.
Where is it? It's.
Please tell me we have someone with comprehend language.
Oh no, I have the exact opposite of this. So I have tongues. So if we could find someone who can read it and they read it out loud, I could tell you what it says.
Well, that's but, funny.
Yeah. No, I spoken languages only. Sorry.
Oh, let's go. Do you guys pass it around or
it's certainly a book and I pass it around.
I'm guessing it's not squeak squawk or mouse squeak.
It's not. It is not.
Would it be primordial or celestial?
It is primordial.
Ooh, you got a ringer, guys.
I think Fonel just looks at it and is like, oh, I could read that.
The first page of this is a meat pie recipe. It's called Dream Pie. It's the Dream Pie recipe, and it gives you it's like an actual physical recipe, and it gives you incantations to give it the magical effects.
Are you reading this to us aloud, or are you just reading it quietly?
I read out loud, and I read the first page with disgust.
I am going to take down the notes on a piece of paper to give to Henrietta.
It's one cup of flour, two, and goes on. And so you kind of flip through, you see different practices and beliefs of the hags, basically depicting how they're looking for their third coven sister. And he has taken them, he has killed them, we need the third sister to be stronger again. It doesn't say who he is, but as you flip through the pages just a little bit more, you see a name pop up. And it's just a full page written for his name. It's Krizakith. That's KRIZAKTH.
You may have to put that in chat.
Yes.
Let me drop that in chat for y'all.
What was the language again?
Primordial.
Primordial.
Oh, I actually have that too.
Oh. Whoopsies.
We could talk to each other in secret.
Probably.
If you wanted to.
Use the language of the ancient elementals.
Yep. And for some reason, that name, besides the fact it's the only thing written on that page, it just jumps out to you, and it's almost like coldness clutches your heart for just a moment. Mm. And you flip the page, and it says, the one God. And then it goes on to developing, or into saying that he seems to have turned the drow to follow him. He has a hold of a cult. Don't touch. Don't go near. They're crazy. Which is kind of a little disturbing coming from hags.
Mm-hmm.
But
so this was written then by the hags. This isn't something they acquired.
Correct. Correct. Hmm. He harbors power of unknown magnitude. He's already taken powerful prisoners. Don't know who. And then as you flip the page again, it also shares information on stones of empowerment. And it depicts a ritual where they've created three of these stones. And all it says is Krazaketh has two. And then it kind of just goes on into a little bit more detail about the ritual. It seems that it talks about how they've tried to harness the power before in the past, their failures, their successes. And then you flip the page again, and there is a picture drawn, a very scrappy picture. And it looks like a dagger. And there is an incantation written. It says, to summon the night, mortal god blood must spill from the mighty dagger that has aimed to kill. When the stone set has been complete, he will then rise to his feet. His shadow fingers will stretch wide and consume all those alive.
Got a nice ring to it.
You're better at this DM shit than I am.
Three weeks writing that shit down. And then you read that, and it's very interesting. And you flip the page one more time, and it talks about trials and tribulations of attempting to attach a soul to objects. Kind of like a phylactery, almost like a lich. And it says in the notes, semi-successful, unfortunately, soul attached to spear is lawful good. Fucking thing. And that's where it ends.
So, are you conveying all of this?
Yeah.
I would like to inspect the disc a little further.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty smart chap.
You are.
I might try and think, draw some conclusions with this. Because I did identify on the disc before, correct?
You did, and you...
I think you didn't really get anything out of it.
You didn't get a whole lot from it.
Okay.
But you remember it popping up in your dream, and now that you have this knowledge, you think you could probably try to get a little bit more.
Okay, I'm going to just do identify then as a ritual. Okay. I'm going to pull out... Oh, I can't. I realized I did that wrong before because it's the material component is a pearl worth at least 100 gold, and I do not have that. So So I cannot do identify on it. So I'm just going to do a straight arcana check on it to try and determine
Sean, why don't you just ask to borrow one from Raquel?
Ma'am, Raquel?
Yes.
Look her over. That's a very fine necklace you're wearing.
Which one?
This one with the white stones. I'm playing kind of dumb.
Yeah, that's okay. Because there's one that you cannot have. That's why that's I was fine. Asking.
I'm just assuming that you have a pearl somewhere on your person, a water genasi and.
No, that's totally fair. But that's why she freaked out and was like, "What? What are you talking about?
Is that something necklace? I can assume, Lauren?"
I mean, that's up to her. She seems to be a lady of class.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wouldn't shock me if I had, basically pearls and gems of all kinds,
She absolutely would.
Okay. Yeah.
Would you mind if I just had one of those stones on that necklace for a spell. Oh. It's for a spell to find out more about what we're getting ourselves into.
This old thing, of course. So I guess I'd take off my whole necklace and hand it to you.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll just take it. I'll de-string a pearl, and I'm going to cast Identify with that. I take it, I crush it in my hand, and when I open it, a source of magical light is there, and I put my hand onto this disc.
Okay, so drop that spell in for me one more time.
Okay, I'll cast it as a third level spell.
Okay.
Just to try to kind of, Raquel gave me a material component, I'm going to use it well.
Okay.
So I cast it as a third level spell.
Delightful. So, Sean, I'm going to apologize in advance because this is a bit homebrewish.
Okay.
I've developed a lot more from this object. So this time when you cast a spell, you actually feel that there was a strong ritualistic magic that was attached to this. And after reading the grimoire and understanding parts of it, you understand now that whatever the hags casted into it, it was amplified.
Okay.
And this time you actually feel a sentient, this disc is sentient.
Okay.
It can't really seem to communicate, but when interacted with, it responds.
Would I sense that it needs attunement of some kind?
No, absolutely not.
So you're saying it can't respond, but it is sentient of some kind?
Correct.
Okay. Any sense of the type of magic used on it?
Hold, please.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Schools of Magic D&D. Don't mind me.
Sean, you'd have to cast Detect Magic to get that.
That's true. You're right. But
you'd learn any spells that were cast on it.
I don't have Detect Magic. But with Identify, I would learn the spell that was cast on it. What spell was cast on it? Is it just like a homebrew ritual thing that some hags did?
Homebrew ritualistic. You can feel, I will. It's a homebrew-ish thing, but also it's like a planar lock on this.
Okay.
So you, like, this is some high-level magic shit. You also get the feeling of evocation magic.
Okay.
And transmutation. Like, it's a combination of those.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, from a game standpoint is thinking of things, but Clover wouldn't
know
what he gets. So.
It's all good.
Okay.
It's honestly one of those things that you say, trust me, it's a really cool story thing.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Sirs and ma'ams, there's something off with this disc. I think that there's something either trapped in it or an intelligent being associated with it. I'm not sure if it's good or evil, but there's definitely more than meets the eye of it just being a straight magic item.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, but my guess is it would be that they trapped something in this disc. Or someone.
Well, how do we find out who it is? Or what it is?
I don't know that I'm capable of finding that out.
I poke it with a stick.
Is there anyone that I would know, an appraiser or anything like that, that would know what to do with it?
Absolutely.
Where are they?
They're actually probably back at Aramel's Rest.
Okay. Okay. So I'll probably say to Clover, I have a lot of friends. In the antiquities business, I know someone that maybe we could take this to.
Are you proposing a quest, ma'am? Raquel?
I guess of sorts. This is turning into a quest.
Clover shakes his shoulders a little bit, bolstered, and spurs the horses on a little faster. And he says, if we have a purpose, it'll make it easier to convince my parents. And I'm very excited to see more about what your exciting life is all about.
I absolutely agree. But I do need you to make me a promise. You really should not tell your mothers anything about our adventures. Just, you should let me talk to them, okay?
I can promise that.
I think it would be better coming from me than from you.
Okay, I'll just tell them that I trust you.
She's right.
And yes. I do trust you. I can trust you, right?
Oh, of course. I'm like one of the most trustworthy women in all of Irulan.
I don't know if you're paying attention, but Urpax is just very quietly shaking his head now. He's not saying anything. He's not doing anything to draw your attention, but he's not even looking at you. But he may not even realize he's doing it. It might just be like a subtle, like, no, of course you can't trust her. But he is definitely shaking his head no.
I think when Fonel's watching this, he's like whispering to Don, he's like, remember, don't grow up like that.
Fonel, could you take the reins for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to pass the reins to him. I'm going to take out my adventuring rope and pull out some strands of it about...
Is adventuring rope different than just a regular 50-foot
rope? Just my rope. Just my rope. Just
some rope. No, for Clover, it's adventuring rope.
I'm just making sure.
It's a name brand. That's why it costs so much extra gold.
Right.
I'm going to pull out several 3-foot lengths of it. I'm going to take another pearl off the... Or actually 3 pearls off of the necklace, and I'm going to get to making something in the back of the cart over the next day.
Okay. All right. So that was this. All this took place, we'll say, on the 3rd day. The 4th day comes around, and it's about midday, and the weather just kind of starts turning sour. A storm starts rolling in. It's rainy, occasionally thundering and lightning, but mostly just rain. And as you guys get closer, you realize, oh, Clover, you notice this first. You're back on the road that leads to Haven.
Okay.
And excitement is like, oh yeah, I'm almost home. But in the distance, you hear the sounds of a battle. And as you draw closer, you see plumes of fire smoking up into the air.
Oh, and you're doing to me what I do to you guys.
That's where we're going to end!
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome, Sean.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep.
Exactly. Oh, well,
and now Haven's on fire again.
Well, again. Of course. I mean, it's destined for that, really.
Is like, what, the 4th, 5th time?
Hey, they're used to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 25 years. Who knows how many times it's been lit on fire since since then.
Yeah,
it was 3 times that we know of.
Vrath probably accidentally did it 2 or 3 of those times.
and then on purpose, like twice more.
She was blazing it. That's what she was doing.
And then the great Sav explosion of 2047.
Sure.
Good boy.
I bet so.
As you do.
I bet
that's how he lost his fingers.
I bet the fire brigade has plenty of practice.
Wait, hold on. In this universe, you say Smuckersty Goodboy lost his fingers?
I don't know. I'm just joking.
We'll have to find that out in game. Anyway, I'm hoping we eventually run into him. But as always, you can keep in touch with the podcast by emailing us at suite@turtle.fyi, texting the champs line 7575champs, or by joining our Discord, turtle.fyi/discord. We're also on Twitter at tabletopchamps. I'm at Fung.
I'm at Sean the DM.
I'm at the Void Man. The O is a 0.
I'm at RP_GGamer.
I'm at Nat20Steph.
And I'm at TheNat1Lady.
Until next time, doodles.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Lauren, you did it. You're being the monster I knew you could be.